Join Talon Books on Thursday, October 5th at 7:30 p.m. for the Fall Poetry Launch at the Pyatt Hall in downtown Vancouver. Help us celebrate these new works from Andrea Bennett, M.A.C. Ferrant, Samantha Nock, and Nikki Reimer. It promises to be a fantastic evening, and the Fall 2023 launch will be hosted by writer and fellow Talonite Aaron Kirsch. Admission is free. Drinks and snacks will be served. Doors open at 7 o'clock, with readings beginning at 7:30 p.m. Hosted at the Pyatt Hall on 843 Seymour Street in Vancouver.
Good morning, good morning. We are dancing in with Soul Mikasa, Mano Dibango. This is Charlotte Farrell, your own Sister C, right here in the place to be, CJSS Radio 90.1, with your Friday Speak Up Show. Have we got a treat in store for you. Good morning, good morning. It's Charlotte Farrell, your own Sister C, here at the place to be, CJSF Radio 90.1 in Burnaby, streaming worldwide at cjsf.ca. Today we are welcoming and acknowledging the Canadian premier of Campania, Rocio. Today we're going to be learning more about the Flamenco Festival starting September 27th. That's Wednesday of next week. And three of the collaborating organizations are Jim Smith, the Assistant Director of Dance House, Michael Boucher, Director of Simon Fraser University's Cultural Programs, and Rosario Anser, AD of Vancouver International Flamenco Festival. Tell us more about that festival. I think it's something new to Vancouver, right? We are going to be learning about a festival that's been going on for 33 years, but it's now having its longest stay. Rosario Anser is the Assistant Director for Vancouver's International Flamenco Festival. Tell us about this festival and why we're so excited about what's happening this year.
Well, this year we are super excited, especially for the presentation of the Compañía Rocío Molina Caída del Cielo. And it's the first time that we have such an amazing collaboration with Dance House and SFU Woodworth Cultural Presentations. Rocío Molina is adored by all flamenco fans. New and emerging dancers want to look like her. She has made an immense contribution to flamenco in the sense that she has broken so many rules and is pushing boundaries and is making flamenco accessible to the entire dance contemporary community worldwide. So he's very well recognized not only in the flamenco world but in the dance, in the contemporary dance world. And also, we are very excited because we always include our local dancers and groups in our programming and companies from other provinces.
Okay, and would you introduce yourself and your role in this event?
Yeah, well, my name is Rosario Anser, and I'm the artistic director of Flamenco Rosario, who is the organization who presents the Vancouver International Flamenco Festival. And of course, I also the co-founder of both.
Wow, what an accomplishment. It makes me long to hear the music. Periodically during the show, we're going to hear some of this music because it's morning, it's Friday morning, and we need to wake up, right? Michael, you're the director of Simon Fraser University's cultural programs. How is Simon Fraser involved as a collaborator in this event?
Well, we've been around for 13 years now, and part of our mandate is definitely connecting with the community. And we try to find the right chemistry with the right people. And these two are wonderful collaborators. So this has been one of these wonderful opportunities where we tried to find the right timing for a project. And this one, in fact, we put it together with Jim and Dance House 3 years ago, but because of the pandemic, we had to cancel it. And so what happened? We rethought it, and then suddenly the timing of it worked so perfectly with a flamenco festival. We figured, let's just shoehorn this right into this occasion. So we're happy as part of the collaboration to be hosting it in our venue at the Goldcorp Center for the Arts. But anyway, it's like, I just wanted to say, like, for me, from my understanding, I have not seen this company live, but I can tell you that from all of my readings about flamenco, I mean, it is a really fascinating art form. And this particular artist, from what I gathered, has in an odd way taken the traditional forms and introduced other media and other influences within the work. So though the work may have this, as it were, traditional aspect to it, it has an incredible innovative and daring quality to it. And I mean, flamenco to begin with is an amalgam of many cultures, influenced by the Jews, by the Arabs, by Andalusian culture. It is just really a hotbed of constant creativity. So with that, I'm going to hand it over to Jim to maybe add to it.
I wanted to ask you one question though. Are there student rates, are there special rates for any particular age groups or for students or people who have any other special designation?
Well, I can only say that what we do is we try to keep the prices at accessible levels. I mean, we're dealing with a very high-end company, so we just try to find the balance of the books. We certainly have initiatives. If somebody is struggling, whatever else, we try to keep the prices within a modest range.
Okay. Thank you for that. Well, speaking of energy, we have a person whose organizational name is Dance House. Introduce yourself and tell us a little bit more about Dance House, Jim.
Sure. So my name is Jim Smith, and I have the privilege of being the artistic and executive director of Dance House, which is a dance presentation series based in Vancouver, which I actually co-founded with a colleague named Barb Claussen some 15 years ago. We're entering into the 16th year of presentation. And the mandate of our organization is really to bring to Vancouver international work, international artists that otherwise, Vancouver citizens would have to get on a plane and fly to see elsewhere in the world. So we try to round out the very rich presentation cultural life of Vancouver by bringing dance work from the international world into round out what's already in offer in Vancouver. And I just have to say that I am completely in awe of both SFU cultural programs and the Flamenco Festival. And it's such a great thrill to be working in collaboration with them. Maybe I'll just extend on that saying, you know, I feel like I've learned much, if not all that I know about flamenco through Rosario Anser in terms of watching her career and watching all of her great efforts in building a flamenco community in Vancouver. The festival is probably, you know, the best demonstration of that in terms of, it's the jewel and the crown, if you will, and the opportunity to acknowledge, you know, the remarkable work that she has done building an appreciation for flamenco by bringing bringing Rosario Molina, who's, you know, has been deigned at one point in time the enfant terrible of flamenco, into the context of Vancouver and in the context specifically into the festival is just such a great joy. It's a wonderful way to be celebrating Vancouver's flamenco scene.
How big is the dance company that you are bringing?
It's actually a duo piece. It's primarily a solo with another performer who tips in, but there are musicians who also round out and appear on the stage as well.
I see. So is this an opportunity for local musicians? Do you have any kind of workshops where people are able to work with the musicians or the dancers to learn more for their own professional work?
We tried. I'd like to say that I think all three of our organizations, put a lot of emphasis in trying to make sure that there is engagement. Whenever we host an international artist, regardless of whatever discipline they're involved with, we want to make sure that there's more than just the performance on stage and the residue of that, but rather actually allow for opportunities for engagement that happened at a more individual or personal level. However, given the nature of this particular show, that is, it's a relatively small complement of artists, and the fact that they have to do four shows in a row while they're in Vancouver and on a tour, which will have them both arriving from the US, but then departing to carry on the tour in the US elsewhere. There just wasn't space in their schedule to allow for that sort of programming.
I see. High energy. but also consideration for the craft. Talking about collaboration, you know, people say that there's so much dissension today and people can't get along. Can each of you tell us a couple of things that you found help your collaboration to work?
Well, I things that help our collaboration along. I mean, I would begin by saying that I think Vancouver, generally speaking, is quite a collaborative town. And there's many theories as to why that is, and probably a lot of people who don't necessarily agree with that. But I think generally speaking, there is a lot of goodwill in terms of coming together to make something bigger happen. I would say that in this particular relationship, and I feel like I'm echoing what Michael was also saying, which is maybe we're part of a bit of a mutual admiration club, is that there is much admiration for both of these organizations that Dance House is partnering with. And so, you know, what is it that's admirable? The, you know, a long track record of doing really great work, of really putting a community forward and serving a community and doing that over and over, year over year, is just a value which certainly we admire, and it's one that we try to subscribe to ourselves. So that commonality is something that allows it to be an ease in terms of always focusing on what's important for the collective project.
Well said. I think you were volunteered to be next.
Oh, I'm happy to do so. I mean, just following that, I think all of us are in the realm of contemporary arts. And what is contemporary arts? I mean, it is in many ways redefining arts in itself. So the idea of coming together, you have to be kind of open about playing with things and daring to smartly risk. I mean, in this age and this time, like, we've all got to be very, very careful about how we align ourselves to, for example, the kinds of projects that can at times provoke, but also really challenge the form of creation itself. So these two wonderful partners, I mean, you know, Rosario has done it for the last 33 years, but also has built up like a hotbed of this incredible activity with these artists that are local. And then Jim has done it from an international standpoint and national in bringing together the leading edge artists that are here. And all of their practices are in an odd way, always anew. And they're always kind of in a way, what is next? What is the future? So in a way, you've got to have a degree of risk and dare in what you're doing, and be smart about, you know, how far you can risk. And I would just say that collaborations like this permit us to really stick ourselves out and go for something that is this challenging, but also this exciting. So that would be my response to working with these wonderful guys and people. Guys and gals, sorry. Guys in the old way.
Well, to follow what Michael had said, for us, for the Vancouver International Flamenco Festival, it is being a great opportunity and a great honor to bring different communities together. With Michael and with Jim separately, we've been working in this collaboration that's going to happen one day. And what better with Rocio? This collaboration is making something good excellent. Mm-hmm. So it will be good if we can do it individually. For us, it's maybe a little bit out of our reach because, as you say, it's the top of the game in flamenco. And doing it together is making this presentation so great. And for the art form that I represent, well, I have to say it is such a great validation which these two organizations are giving us in a way. Yes. So I'm very, very, very happy and very thankful for this.
I think that's the importance of emphasizing people can work together around a common goal and going to the next level, because sometimes people get satisfied with keeping things as they are. But I like the way that you're saying we're here and we're going to the next level. What's new? What else can we show the public? But speaking of that music, I think we will listen to a little bit so that anybody that might feel tired, anybody that wants to get ready to shake themselves out of, well, should be out of bed by now, but that's judgmental. You might have worked until 3 a.m. So if you happen to be moving slowly, this next piece we're going to play will get you moving on and help you to not only get your schoolwork or your business or other work going, but to get to the place you need to be to buy the tickets. How do people get tickets for this event?
Well, different forms. For the whole festival, to VancouverFlamencoFestival.org. And for specifically the Rocio performance, Jim?
Dancehouse.ca. That'll lead you to more information about the presentation itself and certainly to a portal to purchase tickets should you choose to come and join us. And we certainly hope you will.
Okay. Is there anywhere on campus that people, if people were on the campus, is there any place that people physically sell tickets there? Or?
It would only be on the night of the event, but we are probably looking, we're very happy to report that we're doing very well. And so you would have to come out down on the evening of the performance to get a purchase the ticket, because we don't have any online, rather in reality, in situ ticket sales.
Okay, wow. Yeah. It's moving.
Yeah, it is.
Okay, so now we're going to move a bit. And let me just... Thank you. Well, my heart rate is certainly better after hearing that tune. You're supposed to work to get us into a target zone, and flamenco is one of those ways you can do it. Michael, I wanted to ask you, how does music help bring people together?
Well, in the context of flamenco, there are so many influences, and also it's steeped in, I believe, a real cultural mix of peoples, and it's got a history. It's also got a history of it being a worker's dance form. I mean, its origins are hardworking people, often an agrarian context, and the way they celebrated was the evolution of developing these little cafes, and from that they would at night and the evenings dance. So to me, the idea of bringing people together, the idea of bringing people from different parts of the world together with all different influences, this form allows that kind of amalgam to come together. And in a way, it's a good lesson and a good sense of, you know, projecting hope for the world that we live in today, that we can, despite all the differences and everything else, have common ground. And this art form does, in a way, exemplify that.
What are some of the cultural transfers or collaborations that you see with this music, Rosario?
Nowadays? Yeah, well, flamencos have the custom to, or flamenco in general, I think is relevant today because always fits out from other cultures and different musicians, the different musics. So most of flamencos, like, well, I'm going to give you an example. They are calling flamenco cantes de ida y vuelta, cantes of singing from coming back and forth, something like that. So that's what the song forms who Spanish brought to Cuba, they changed there, and then rhythms from Cuba went back to Spain, and that's, that became flamenco. Another idea is Cajón Peruano. They were in the 70s, people traveling in Peru, and they found this percussive box, and they say, oh, we can add it to flamenco, and they added some chords, and then sounds a little bit different, but nowadays all the flamencos think it's a flamenco instrument, but it's not. It was added. Paco de Lucía did a lot of collaborations with bossa nova, with jazz, and he created his own sound, which now all the new or young guitarists work in that trend with that idea. So lots of instruments from Middle Eastern, especially from Middle East, from Turkey and Persia. Also, musicians do a lot of collaborations. So far, there is, because flamenco has spread to the world, and non-Spanish or non-Gypsy musicians and dancers do flamenco, perform flamenco. They all want to investigate or to explore the relationship that exists with their own culture. So it is so rich, honestly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you could almost have a course on the music, because the integration of music and the cross-cultural nature of music does make it easier for people to sit down and have a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, a cup of juice, when they can talk about what they have in common and then explore off to what else can we bring. Makes me think of jazz, when people have created new patterns. But listening to a program about Little Richard, and he invented a pattern where people were playing one thing with the left and something else with the right. So I think, as you're talking about, you know, these cultural collaborations, that other things are happening like that, and it just makes people feel less alienated and welcome more. I think that it does something to draw in more people to, you know, to do what they see other musicians doing. Now, as a place called Dance House, do you have dancing in the house?
It's a very good question. I always feel that that's an opportunity that we've not completely seized on. That is really in creating a space for a community to come out and dance unto itself. At this point in time, we've really just focused on trying to bring concert dance for people to enjoy. But I always feel like that's out there waiting to happen for the community that we've created, is just creating a space and time for them to come out and dance themselves.
That's another way of bringing people together, breaking down barriers between people, because it's, you know, little kids watching people dance start to just, you know, they don't worry about where it came from. They just follow it. If it sounds good, they follow it. And then I've seen too at some of the other festivals, like the folk festivals, all those festivals that got closed down because of COVID, people are so excited. I think, you know, on the 27th, when you all open on the 27th, right?
That's correct.
Yeah. There are going to be so many people there that are just excited to be out again and hearing this rich music and being able to do it, you know, to the extent they can in their seats or when they go home.
I completely agree.
I wanted to ask you, I've been doing a series with people about three P's, their project, their purpose, and their passion. How do you see this project as being aligned with your purpose in life?
Rosario?
Oh, well, that was brought tears to my eyes. I've been dedicated to my life. My flamenco changed completely my life at the point that sometimes I was the thought of not be deciding to go to Spain to pursue my dream scared me, but I did. So it changed totally my life. It feels like the energy that flamenco gave me and the love that we have for this art form, it has ruled my life and my way of thinking and my way of doing things. That's why we have the Flamenco Festival. Flamenco was not very well known in Vancouver when we arrived here.